I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power Platform Show. Today, I just want to jump really straight into this discussion with Barry. I just think it's a fantastic topic to be focusing on this time, and there's so much opportunity in getting user interface and user experience design right. So, let's get on with it. Today's guest is located in Brittany, France. He works as a Power Platform UI designer and front-end developer. He has worked with various design and communication agencies in the UK and France over the course of the last 20 years. You can find him on Twitter at BZFerg, B-Z-F-E-R-G. Welcome to the show, Barry Ferguson.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Me too. It's an interesting topic today, of course, around Power Apps and user interface design, as well as, you know, how that crosses over into customer experience or UX, the user experience. Tell me, though, before we get started, a bit about three things I always like to hear from my guests is food, family, and fun. So all those things when you're kind of not working.
Yeah, well, as you've just mentioned, I'm based here in Brittany in France. Well, you know, we all know that in France, we're so passionate about food. So I've really learned how to live like the French.
The French,
you know, they sit around the table for a long time during the meal. Mm-hmm. Having a good discussion over a nice glass of wine. I've got to learn that food is such a special part of French culture. So even before, you know, when I was younger, I used to enjoy cooking, you know, and thanks to being here in France, I do it more and more, and you can really feel in France that, you know, it's such a passion, and people are just so proud of the French cuisine, as we say. It's such an opening to learn more about food here in France, and well, what a better place than France? Well, you've got other countries as well, like Italy, and in terms of family, I'm married with two children.
Nice.
I've been here I don't know if you mentioned, I've been here in France over 20 years now.
So, wow.
Over 20 years. So I got married 16 years ago. So the kids are very lucky because they're fluent in French and English. That's something that I really, you know, really focus on with the children. You know, me, for example, I would always be speaking English, you know, and my wife is French. So she takes care of the French side, but, you know, we do both at the same time. But, you know, nice. I always maintain that, you know, it's English is so important. And I'm always saying that to my kids. And in terms of family life, you know, when you're in the sector, in my sector, you know, you're on the computer pretty much most of the day, you know, and I love to get outdoors. And more recently, I've gone out on my own. I'm an independent now. It's been for 3 years. So that allows me to spend more time with my children, which is such a luxury. That's one of the benefits of, you know, being an independent. What do I do? Well, with my kids, my oldest kid now, he's my boy, he's 15, and we enjoy, we've got many passions, many common passions together.
Nice.
We go kayaking together. That's something we really enjoy together. And I try to pass over some of my passions, and you know, I'm passionate about art. I always have been, and they're picking up on that a little bit. So it's
so good.
Yeah. So that's from me from the family side. The food obviously is the French influencer.
Yeah. Any favorites in the food department?
From
a food perspective.
Well, in France, you've got so many. There's so much variety. You know, every region in France would have a speciality.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked, you know, basic meals, and you do have a lot of that in France. I love seafood. Living here on the coast, I'm actually on the coast in Brittany, the northwest coast.
Oh, yes.
And in Brittany, one of the specialities would be, I don't know if you know much about crepes.
Crepes.
That's a real speciality in Brittany here.
And are they both sweet as well as savory?
Absolutely. You have what's called galette breton. So that's buckwheat pancakes. So mm-hmm. basically, what you do is it's basically like a crepe, really, and it's more salty than sweet. So you could add like ham with grated cheese and egg. You know, so many things you can add to it. And it's just very simple. It's a very simple thing, you know, you just put it in your pan and you just, in 10 minutes, it's done. So I don't really have a favorite, to be honest, because there's so much variety, you know, but basically it's basic meals I like. You know, been brought up in Ireland all these years ago, because I don't know if you mentioned at the top of the show, I'm Irish. Back in my younger days, I was used to, you know, having basic meals like Irish stew. I don't know if you know of if you've heard of the famous Irish stew.
The only famous Irish meal I know about is a 7-course dinner, which was told to me on the way to a Guinness factory, which is a pot of potatoes and a 6-pack of Guinness.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I've had a few of them. Just coming back to in answer to your question, it's just I like just simple basic meals, and I think it's something that always works.
Nice. What's in an Irish stew?
An Irish stew, you can either have lamb or beef. So it's slowly cooked. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the ingredients would be, as I say, either lamb or beef, and then you would add chopped carrots, potatoes, leeks if you want, and then you would just slow cook it for hours, like 4 hours, 5 hours. So it's a good winter meal.
Very tasty. Tell me about your journey into user interface design and front end development.
Well, if I go back quite far, I would go back to my time at school, secondary school. So from the very start, I was always very much interested in art and further down the line, design. Okay, so as you know yourself nowadays, young people, it's hard to map out your career. But I was very lucky because right from the start, as I say, I was passionate about art. And then when I left secondary school, high school, I'd done an A-level in art and design and history of art. And then from there, I got into graphic design. So that was my first real introduction to graphic design was when I'd done a HND, a higher national diploma in Northern Ireland. So that was a 2-year course. After that, I'd done a degree in graphic design in Wales. So I have traveled over the years. So that was two-year course. And then I finished off with a postgraduate diploma in media communication. So my base is graphic design. That's by trade. I'm a graphic designer. But then just when I finished my postgraduate diploma in Manchester back in 1996, one of my former colleagues during my course, he left a few weeks before me. And then when I finished, we got together again, and he contacted me and he asked me, you know, we're setting up a startup, an internet startup here in Manchester. It was one of the first at the time. And he invited me to come along and to see, you know, if I would like to be involved. And that's where it all started. And I haven't looked back, you know, over the years. I've gone from being a graphic designer, web designer, web graphic designer to, as you know nowadays, UI designer, UX designer, art direction as well. So that's how I start, and that's how. And today, I still believe that I'm just as passionate about the whole process, the whole journey, as I was from day one.
Mm-hmm. How did you start getting involved with Power Apps?
Power Apps, that was just over 2 years ago. So I've been working closely with Hikari Data Solutions, based in Dublin. It's very much become an international company now. So I've been working closely with them on Power Apps, and I've come from the outside, really. I never had a Microsoft background. So thanks to them and the Hikari team, I've been introduced to the Microsoft ecosystem. I'm learning as I go along. It's a new challenge for me. As I say, I never really got involved with Microsoft before. So that's how it all started for me over 2 years ago.
Yeah. So let's unpack app designing, particularly in the context of the Power Platform a bit. Why do you think that, first of all, user interface design, and I'll use also the process in a moment, I'll ask you the difference between user interface design, user experience. But first of all, why is app design important fundamentally?
Well, to be honest with you, design is essential. You know, when the user is going to use an application or even a website, I think, you know, as we all know, the first thing we see and the first thing we're sensitive to is the visual. Okay, good design makes the difference. It's, as we know nowadays, I'm sure you've heard of this so many times, Mark, and the bounce rate. It's that split second, that few seconds that makes the difference when you arrive on the screen. Is the interface easy to use? Is it attractive visually? Is it intuitive? And that's when design—that's where design comes in. You know, there's so much going on behind the scenes, but essentially, what you see on the screen makes the difference. Are you unique? Do you stand out from the crowd? That's the basis of good design, and that makes the difference. It's that few seconds, you know, that helps the user to decide whether they're going to stay on the application, on the website, or not.
Yeah, and it creates an emotional change, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And carry on.
Just a mix of good, you know, great visuals, infographics, solid branding, you know, good consistent color palettes. It's just those, that combination of things that you have to take into account from the word go, really.
Yeah. I like it. In your words, when you, you know, and some people can be very passionate around, there's a big difference between user interface design and user experience design.
Yeah.
I'm keen to understand how you explain that to people.
Well, this is a question that I've been asked so many times. Well, with the experience I have over the last 20 years, I've obviously been doing both, to be honest. UI design, UX design. Okay, so basically, if I was to explain the difference, because ultimately there is a difference, because it is important to have the UX process, depending on the project as well. If it's a big project, well, it is important to have somebody alone with that role. So the role of a user experience designer is to understand the customer journey, really. That would mean understanding the target audience. It goes to interviewing customers, defining user flows, conducting user testing. And then the UX designer, he would go away and collect that information from the customer. And he would put together a strategy, have the research and strategy in place. And then the next process for that person would be to create wireframing, prototyping. Yeah. That's part of what they do. It's somebody that needs to have a good design background, to be honest. It's somebody who needs to have good communication skills, and they have to understand what the client wants. They have to understand what the final product should be. So then if I was to compare that with a UI designer, well, the UI designer is going to polish it off. He's going to add the aesthetic side of things. But at the same time, the UI designer has to take into account what the user experience is as well. You know, I'm coming back to what I said at the start. You kind of have to do both, really. But the designer, really, as we know, he's going to, finish it off, add the infographics, build the interface, take care of, the fonts, the colors, the branding. I always think that the branding is very important from word go. So I hope I've answered your question, but this is a question that, gets asked very, very often.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. If you were looking at hiring these skills based on the context of Power Apps, based on the context of your design background, and you're advising me, these are the type of people you need to be looking for. And the reason I ask this is that across my 18-year career in Microsoft Biz Apps, I know how to spot developers. I know how to, as in I'm talking about coding back-end developers. I know how to spot functional consultants, people that can go in, gather requirements and from a customer, and architects, right? Technically architecting often from a data point of view, fundamentally. And there for some time has been a gap, I feel, in our industry around this area here, really understanding user interface, user experience, and the absolute critical importance it plays on people's one perception of the technology, adoption of the technology, and the fact that you might build a solution over a period of months, but people are potentially going to be using that over a period of years and years and years. And if you don't get this bit right, the implication is that you actually, people's lives, their job, their job satisfaction, etc., can be affected for years to come because of this bit not being right. And so if you're looking for these skills, what would your advice to me be?
Well, I would say that, coming back to the UX role, that it's here that it's fundamental. It's a fundamental role because this is the opportunity for, because sometimes, when you have a client or a customer, technology sometimes it impresses them, they get scared of it, okay? And it's hard to translate exactly what you're going to produce, going to produce for them and what the final result is going to be. So I think this is why the UX experience is good, because the client can be involved, okay? So I'm going back to basics because when I say that, I mean that I know what it was like before the internet age. You know, a lot was on paper. Yeah. We've done a lot of sketching. Mm-hmm. So that has come back in a sense. So let's say I go to a customer or, you know, the client that I want to communicate with, and I go along with, you know, a few sketches, okay? And I'm going to show them, you know, basically the architecture, you know, the potential architecture of the application or the website. So that helps the client to be more involved. They can contribute to the process. Therefore, they kind of have an idea what's coming along and what's down the line. You know, it's an opportunity as well to avoid surprises because you have to be basic in the process from the very start. You know, as you just mentioned, if we go along and develop something and they don't understand the process, well, that is going to cause problems. And I think that whole UX process, we see it more and more, to be honest. It's fundamental. And it does help the client to understand as we go along and, you know, we can interact more and more all the time.
Yeah. Tell us about empathizing with the person or the people that you're designing an app for. Like, how do you get into their world and understand, you know, because, you know, sometimes you go into an organization and they have already got an app or a tool. And sometimes there's the thing like, I just want it to replicate what that does. Yet technology's advanced. There's better ways of representing data and information. Yeah. And, you know, there's been so much advancement in that area. How do you, one, empathize, but well, at the same time, setting a vision for what's possible, or, you know, the art of, you know, what's possible moving forward?
I think that I look at every project as being unique. Mm-hmm. There has to be a story behind everything. So I would ask basic questions from the word go. You know, what do you like in terms of, what would you like to compared to your competitor? It starts there. You know, you have to build up trust from the word go. You have to get involved with their story and what they're looking for, because the danger is that, you know, from my side, I would get ahead of myself, and I would, you know, once they would tell me what they're looking for, the danger would be like that I would get ahead of myself technically. But you have to be careful on that side. So for me, it's very simple. You have to build up trust from the word go, and you have to understand what their background is and exactly what they're looking for from their perspective. That's so important. But, you know, that process can run through the whole way along then.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've engaged with a client, and you know, as I say, in my world, we've traditionally dealt with developers, and part of any app creation process is now. I'll just correct that. Dealt with developers sounds like I'm being condescending. Sorry, I didn't mean that. What I'm saying is that part of your team are a whole range of skill sets, of which development, data structures, etc. You know, we have expertise that come in these various areas, even more with AI and things like that these days, and complex formulas as part of that process. How have you seen, you know, developers, UI designers, experienced designers, all coming together and working for the greater good? What have you seen that's worked effectively?
Well, as you say, coming together, it's just so important. Like, you know, I think from the word go, once you have a brief, everybody mm-hmm. has to be involved from the start, you know, and there has to be an understanding straight away. And I've had a lot of experience over the years working with developers. So I would always say, like, try and put your shoes in, you know, try and put yourself in the shoes of a developer, because you have to take into account the technical aspects from the word go as well. So sometimes that's not easy, you know, and developers, sometimes it's hard for them to understand the logic of a designer as well. So I've had the opportunity and I've been lucky to be able to work with many developers over the years, many UX designers as well. So I've had great souvenirs. Working with teams. What more can I say? You know, it has to be a team job all the time. It depends on the project as well, doesn't it? If it's a big project, there has to be an understanding from word go. And with experience, I can look back now and I can see that, you know, I've been lucky to be have worked with so many qualified people. But it's a team job, you know, and you have to be complementary as well with each other.
Yeah. So drilling into the Power Platform, Canvas, app design, Power Portals, model-driven app design, what I'm interested in understanding perhaps constraints you've come across when designing for this.
Yeah.
And how you mitigate those.
Well, over the years, I've been working a lot on CMS platforms. So I see Power Platform in the same way. I'm always trying to push the barriers to try and get the most out of the platform. But there are constraints, of course. You know, you can't do everything you want. A designer is always looking to do as much as they can. They're looking for a blank page, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that doesn't exist. There is a grid. Yeah. There is a grid, you know, I can see now with Power Platform, and especially I've been working with Canvas and Power Portal over the last few years. I can see that it's getting better and better, you know.
Yeah,
it's becoming more flexible. You're always going to have constraints with platforms like that, but with techniques that I have, I can mention that later. I do use other tools. And I wouldn't see these platforms as design tools, to be honest. For me, it's more a building tool. It's more like a building tool. And then with other techniques I have and other software I use, I would bring in the elements I've created in other places and then build it into the platform, for example. But in terms of constraints, one thing I've been thinking about recently is the SVG format, which is becoming very important, especially for mobile. It's not easy to use that yet in Power Platform. I know, for example, like in PowerPoint, you can't have scalable vector graphics.
Yeah.
So I think that would be something really good. Because it is becoming more important to have crisp, clean graphics, especially on a Retina screen like on mobile.
Yeah.
But other constraints, let me think. Well, I'm always trying to work around technical constraints. I am used to that. I've got that experience. For the moment, as I say, it's getting better and better. And you've always got room for improvement, to be honest, on these platforms.
Yeah. Are there any investments that you would like to see from Microsoft's side to create a great deal of flexibility purely from your point as a designer?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think a designer would always want that, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, down the line, because there's such a high demand now for applications, I think Microsoft, they will go in that direction. I'm confident that they will. You know, they will offer more and more to designers, because I think Microsoft obviously understand as well that it's such an important and fundamental thing, design. So I can even see I've been using Power BI as well. And I can see that you do have more and more flexibility with Power BI in terms of, you know, being able to customize things a little bit more. So I think it's the start of a good journey, an exciting journey, to be honest. And I think some designers will be attracted more and more to platforms like this.
What excites you most about the Power Platform?
It's the speed, the speed of the whole thing, you know, that you can put something together very fast. How would you say, you know, we're all agile, okay, which is very important for a lot of software, but I think Power Platforms has a different logic whereby you can put something together very fast and you're throwing a lot of the norms up there in the air, whereby you can put something together very fast and you can send it over to the client. They can go through what you've done. They can come back to you and say, well, okay, well, we've missed this part. Can you come back to us with, you know, what they're asking? That can be done very quickly within days, within a day, mm-hmm. within 2 days. So that whole process is up to speed very fast, and the client can get involved very fast, I think. That's what I like about Power Platforms, especially working with Canvas and Power Portal. Recently, I've been doing a few projects on Power Portal, and I'm just really happy that you're able to use Bootstrap. I don't know if you know much about Bootstrap. I've been using Bootstrap for years, and this allows you to customize more and more, you know, via CSS and via the Bootstrap framework, which is installed by default. So there is so much room for maneuver, but it's just the whole speed, and you know, you can get something up and running very, very, very fast. That's what excites me a lot.
Yeah. I like it. Let's talk about tools you use. You touched on it that yeah. We're going to talk about them. You know, I'm keen to, you know, what makes up your tool set, and it can be anything from physical tools, software tools, online websites, etc. Tell us about your process and what your go-tos are that you've built up over time.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about competitors.
Absolutely, as in, heck, tell us about them.
Surprise, surprise, it's obviously Adobe Creative Cloud. I've been using that from the word go. Photoshop, Adobe mm-hmm. Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator. I don't think I would survive without those two tools. More recently, I've been using Adobe XD for prototyping and wireframing. Mm-hmm. So my process would be like, I've got these building tools like Power Platform. Another example would be like a CMS like WordPress, Sitecore. So the elements that you would need to bring in to complement your interface, to complement your build, these elements, you would create these elements in Illustrator, like let it be an infographic, an icon. That would be something you would do in Illustrator as an SVG, scalable vector graphic. So I would prepare all these elements with these tools. I have in the past I have done a lot of prototyping and wireframing in Photoshop. For years, I was doing that up until the point where you had, where they introduced Adobe XD, which is a great tool for prototyping. But more recently, with some of the guys at Hikari, they actually, you know, they were saying to me, you know, you could do prototyping in Power Apps as well. So I started doing that recently. Because the big advantage of doing that is that you're actually building the application, but at the same time, you're prototyping. Therefore, you're sending this over to the client. It's a prototype already, but it's functional.
Yeah, yeah.
So
interesting.
Other tools, what other tools would I use? I don't use any online tools, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. What about, I was thinking more for online, whether it be stock image fonts, iconography, all those type of potential things that if you hadn't built them yourself?
To be honest, I have used a lot of those in the past. Again, in the Adobe, I've got an Adobe Creative Cloud account, for example. So you've got many resources on the Creative Cloud. You do have stock as well. You have illustrations, you have photos, obviously, mm-hmm. Fonts as well. You've got font libraries. I do use the Google Font Library a lot as well for web fonts.
Right.
But the majority would be on Adobe, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I've also had an Adobe cloud subscription for probably the last 4 years.
Okay.
And when you said Adobe XD, I hadn't come across it, and I just quickly jumped in there, but it's not part of the subscription I have. Okay. I have all the main, you know, Premiere, yeah, and Illustrator and Photoshop, and I use the, you know, as you say, their fonts, their graphic libraries, yeah, you get all that included.
Absolutely.
You know, but also I've used Spark a lot,
okay,
of course, for online graphics. But I noticed that the XD is not part of that subscription.
Yeah.
The one I have.
You do have different licenses, I think I've got the full package, to be honest. I do have Premiere as well, and I've got After Effects. To be honest, it's good for small business because in the past, as you're probably aware, you had to buy the software.
Yeah. And it was thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was just
dollars,
right? it used to cost an absolute fortune. But the advantage of having this, it's a license-based system whereby you just pay monthly or annually. And it's a good thing, I think, to be honest.
Totally.
And you've got the updates all the time as well.
Yeah. As we close out, are there anything else you'd like to share before we go to our quick fire questions?
I don't think so. I was just going to mention as well that, in terms of, influences I've had over the years, sometimes people would choose like a famous artist or a famous designer.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say like that my greatest influences over the years has always been my colleagues. I've always learned from my colleagues because I've worked a lot with qualified people. So that's something I would just like to mention. And I think it's very important that as well, because when you do work in a team, as I was saying earlier, you complement each other all the time. That's something I've really valued over the years, working with qualified people. And I've had the opportunity as well of, working with really, really qualified people at Hikari, who've really learned me and introduced me into the Microsoft environment. And I'm really thankful for that. And that's something I've always took great pride in, is, mentioning, the great people I've worked with over the years.
I like it. Is there anyone you'd recommend as a guest for a future show?
I would recommend the chairman of Hikari Data Solutions, Eamon Muir. He's the co-founder and chairman of Hikari Data Solutions.
Excellent. Would you do an introduction? That would be great.
Yeah.
Now, I always like to wrap up with some quickfire random questions. Here's the first one.
Yeah.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
I don't know. It's passionate about what I do, and still passionate about what I do after all those years. Yeah.
I like it. What's something you believed earlier in your career, but think about it differently now?
Earlier in my career, I think I mentioned at the start of the show, maybe not, where I was a bit, I didn't put myself out there. When I was younger, mm-hmm. but I think that's natural when you're younger as well with less experience. And I never thought that I would have the confidence, to sell myself and to talk on an interview like this. I would say that, yeah.
Final one. What were the three biggest turning points in your life that you could point to?
I think one of them would be my choice to move to France because it was a big culture shock. I didn't speak French. I did study that at school, but my level wasn't very good. It was very basic. So I think that was one of the biggest challenges and one of the biggest turning points in my life. Yeah, moving here to France. Mm-hmm. What else? I think recently, after 20 plus years working with several agencies in the UK and in France, as you mentioned at the top of the show, I decided to go out on my own and be an independent 3 years ago.
Nice.
And that was a very big challenge and a big turning point as well. And as I said previously as well, it gave me the opportunity to spend more time with my family, which is such a luxury, I think. And I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that, I like it.
Yeah, that would be the two main, for the moment, the main ones that stick in my mind.
Well, it's been absolute pleasure to have you on the show, Barry. I look forward to getting this published and getting feedback from people that have found this so interesting.
It was such a pleasure for me as well, Mark, and thank you again.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, also known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show, please message me on LinkedIn and let me know why you think that'd be a good fit for the show. If you'd like to be a supporter of the show, please go to buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. Thanks, and as always, stay safe out there.